This podcast is intended for mature audiences.
It also contains two British people talking about sex.
Hold on, because there is some bloody big engine outside my window. Congratulations, we know you have a big exhaust. Unfortunately, it doesn't match the rest of you. There's your opener. Let's go, Chris.
Hello,
and welcome to Teabags and Joysticks, the kinky video game podcast. That's the point where you jump in and go, I'm Chris.
No, you go first. Right.
I'm Si.
And I'm Chris.
I'm pretty sure it's the other way around, but sure, here we are. Hello, everybody. How are we, Chris?
Yeah, I'm okay. Yeah.
Everything settled on your side, finally?
Everything, well, you can't say everything. Nothing is, like, forever settled.
Oh, okay. Apparently you joined us for Teabags and Joysticks Philosophy Hour. Although we are talking hypotheticals today, Chris.
Yes, we are. Because what are we
talking about?
We are sort of talking about Locktober, but not really.
Yeah, so... We thought it's been a while since we did a list episode.
Yes.
It's been a while since we sort of looked into, shall we say, something a bit more lighthearted. So we figure we would do a version of the Teabags and Joysticks list.
Yep.
Looking to see who would be locked into chastity and who would be the locked boy. And we even had a special guest. We'll get there when we get there.
Oh, yes. And I also prepared a small surprise.
Okay, that has me slightly nervous, but okay. Okay, stay tuned to see what that is, because I'm slightly worried.
What? No, nothing to be worried about. That'd be ridiculous.
But before we
won't do that to you listeners, no.
He lies. But before we get there, what's the tea, Chris?
The tea is that... A lot of media outlets seem to have jumped on to the dating habits of Gen Zers. Do we say Gen Zers or Gen Zers?
We say stupid, meaningless term for different generations that's entirely meant to be a marketing gimmick and a way of pitting people against each other. Sorry. Now I'm getting
okay. But yeah, they seem to be jumping on this word. Well, I say jumping. They seem to be like reporting on this word they use, which is situationship.
Yes. Yes. This is not only a Gen Z thing. Like, this is something I do as well.
Yeah, okay. But yeah, there seem to be a lot of articles by various media outlets trying to explain what they're doing in situationships.
The answer is fucking.
But sure, obviously. Like, when is it not about fucking?
When is it not a situationship?
When is more than that?
You look very confused right now. No, I've seen this term before. I haven't seen the media blitz on it, but I've seen this term before, because I've got to be honest. I saw this term enter parlance, and I'm like, oh, that's brilliant. That's, like, perfectly encapsulates some of my past relationships.
Oh, yeah.
Especially some of the ones I've had since I moved, and it's just like, okay. Let's just not bother defining this. This is just a thing.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty much what it means. It's like,
But it's worth it. It's what Facebook used to call it's complicated.
Exactly.
It's just a new term for it's complicated.
But it also sounds a lot better than it's complicated.
It depends if you ever saw it's complicated as a bad thing, you know?
I mean, complicated doesn't sound like a good thing.
Yes. But then, if anyone ever asks me what, like, are you dating anyone? And they, like, I really don't want to get into explaining polyamory. It's just like, eh, kind of, but it's complicated. Let's not go there.
Well, okay. Yeah, I guess.
Because there are sometimes I don't want to have that 30-minute conversation with a colleague and go...
Oh, yeah, yeah. When there's, like, small talk with people who I don't really,
exactly.
don't really give that much of a shit about.
Exactly. It's just like, I don't have the energy or the mental capacity to explain this to you. It's complicated.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
Although that's... I mean, that's not what a situationship is, really, is it? Situationship is more like... I've always understood it as more like, there's something there, but it's not a relationship, but it's not just a friendship, and it's just like, It's what I would have called friends with benefits for the fucking long enough time.
I don't know. I don't know if it is. Like, friends with benefit seems to me imply that the sex is kind of like, yeah, friends, but it's also about the sex, but it's not really going to go anywhere.
I mean, yes, but also I've been in friends with benefit situations where it's just like, it's kept looking like it's going to go somewhere, but it doesn't for whatever reason. And it's just like, okay. To me, I guess my point in response to all of this is like, there have always been weird terms that sort of they morph over time to mean this situation you find yourself in where it's not a relationship, but it's not quite just fucking either.
Yeah. So, but yeah, okay. But the whole thing about whether you're, you know, it's never been a binary of whether you're in a relationship or you're not in a relationship. It's never been like that.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just like, I'm just at that point where it's just like, I'm not trying to judge it. I'm not trying to make a decision on it. I'm just like, hey, the sex is nice. You're a nice person. This'll either be a thing or it won't. Whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds good enough. It's like, no, just don't. Sometimes you don't need to put pressure on anyone, you know?
Well, yeah.
I don't have much more about that. So,
fair enough.
Yeah, basically we've established this not just a Gen Z thing. Okay.
No, I think it's just the word is.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Okay, so that's been my tea. What's in your teacup?
I mean, it's not so much what's in my teacup as what's in my cup. And it's just like, so I have been told I need to do Locktober this year.
Ah.
And I'm not sure how I feel about that.
Oh. Why's that?
And all the chastity bottoms are sitting there that do it regularly and going, well, you're going to do it. And all the doms are going, you're going to do it. And anyone who's like been on my side of the fence understands this and is like, yeah, I want to, but...
Oh, telling the internet that, oh, someone's demanding you to do Locktober is going to gain you no sympathy whatsoever.
Oh, I know. Full stop. I'm not here playing the violin. It's just that thing of it's just like, I don't know how I feel about this one this year. So I was talking with my sir and he's like, he's keen for me to do it. And it's a interesting one because, I mean, hi, listeners, like, I don't think we've spoken about it before. Like, I do have a sir. But also, like, I've just moved. I'm living on my own now. I've, like, all my work stress has calmed down, etc. My sex life has, like, no, sorry, my sex drive has suddenly kind of re-exploded, only for me to then get told, oh, yeah, you're locking up. It's just like, oh, fuck's sake.
Good.
That's I'm going to go crazy.
That's what it should be like.
Yeah, you're enjoying this kind of turn of the tables, aren't you? I mean, yeah. I should be clear here. It's not my first time doing Locktober. I actually do try and do it to some degree every year.
Mm-hmm.
Only I don't tend to be as strict with it as I am about being strict with you about it.
No.
And, you know, it's usually a case of I manage about 2 weeks.
That's
whereas
fair.
This time I know I'm not going to get the choice.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, there's that.
As always, to everyone who is participating in Locktober, keep it fun and, you know, be sensible.
Oh, yeah. Like, you know, me and Sir have spoken. There's safety's in place and everything else. Uh-huh. Don't get me wrong. It's just that thing of like, since I have a sir who is pushing me to do it this year, which is a new thing, I really want to do it, but at the same time, I'm like, oh, for fuck's sake. Like, can we not like delay it just by a few weeks?
Like, that's not how it works.
Time, please.
That's not how it works. Like, October is October.
Is it?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Does it have to be?
Yes.
Can we just, like, swap November into it? Like...
No, you do that as well.
But yes, we that's my tea this time. It's like I'm doing Locktober this year, and I'm looking forward to it, but I'm kind of nervous about it.
That's fair.
So should we go into the bag, Chris?
We should go into the bag, I think.
And let's start off the bag by introducing our lovely guest, Craig. Hello.
Hello again. Hey.
We're having you a lot, which is great.
I'm always happy to be here.
You've been here a few times, mate, but do you want to give a quick introduction for those that haven't heard you before?
So, I am Craig. I'm a bootblack local to London. I run the Kinky Boys podcast. And that's me.
Yeah. And we figured, since it's Locktober and some of us are probably very frustrated by now, I know I am, we're going to do a version of the list that is based around Locktober. So, we are going for two names for what are going to come out of the list, and we are going to have to decide whether they are the key holder or whether they are the locked boy.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Does that work?
So, to kick us off...
No, wait, no. I need to say something first. If everyone's ready, so now let's play the TBNJ list.
Oh, okay, that's new.
You've got a soundboard, nice.
Okay. Well, since you kicked that off, Chris, let's kick us off with the first one.
All right. Am I asking, or...?
Yes.
Okay. Huh. All right. So, to decide between who is the key holder and who is being locked, we have Santa Claus and the Winter Soldier.
Okay, I know which way my vote goes.
I'm pretty instantly knowing what I
What okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
So, I'm putting Santa Claus as the locked boy.
Are you? Okay.
Here's why. Winter Soldier is traditionally fairly anti-establishment, fairly anti... He's kind of the anti-hero, just full stop. Okay, It's usually his thing to turn things on its head a bit, even though like he's as often a good guy as he is a bad guy. But I just figure, in this scenario, he would be that one that turns it on the head of what you expect, and he's going to be a very make sure that Santa's being the very good boy.
All right.
Okay.
From my perspective, I think Bucky is used to being controlled anyway. So I think being locked, it's right down his alleyway.
Greg?
So I was thinking Santa Claus has like soft Dom energy and constantly teasing a boy seems right up that alley. So I'd say Santa would be the key holder and the Winter Soldier would be the locked boy.
Yeah, like Santa keeps making those decisions like, oh, who gets a treat? Who gets nothing for Christmas? Yeah.
I mean, all you need to know about Santa is he has the list that says who is naughty and who is nice. Like,
exactly.
I know which list I want to be on. Okay, no, let's roll it again, Chris.
Okay, name a number, Craig.
13.
Between 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Here we go.
Interesting pairing.
So we have Snake and Mario. I don't know with this one.
Yeah, this is a tougher one.
Oh, yeah.
No, I think I know which way I go with this.
I think I know which way I'd go with this for specific reasons.
Okay. Chris? Okay, let's start with you this time.
Sure,
Chris.
Yeah.
Okay, I would say Mario as the locked one.
Okay.
Purely because as soon as I thought about it, the image came into my head of it being a Mario power-up.
Oh my
He
God.
Hits the box, it drops out, and he's suddenly locked.
Okay,
hits the box,
out comes
the chastity belt.
Oh, it now occurs to me that Mario is like the perfect like transformation, like kink embodiment type of thing.
Oh yeah, like I mean, we all saw what happened both with Goo Bowser last year and now Elephant Mario this year,
and the peach thing with the evil peach that they did a while ago.
Oh, the Bowsette.
That's the one. Oh, yeah. Chris, where are you going with this?
I feel like Snake also has that kind of, you know, locked energy to him. I don't know.
Oh, really?
Yeah, a bit, yeah.
Yeah, that sort of trial by endurance sort of thing. It's very solid Snake.
Yeah, I can see that going that way. Mario.
Mario does have the gloves for teasing as well.
Yeah.
Like sensation play.
Yeah, I'll go that way. Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to go with Craig, but for a different reason. Because my thought with this is Snake gives me sort of gruff, kind of older dumb daddy energy. In terms of like the way he comes off on a lot of the, at least the westernized versions of Snake. And there's also the thing of, I think Mario would be a bratty sub. Because yeah. Mario and Chastity would just like, they'd be reaching for the mushrooms, like either the growth mushroom or the shrink mushroom to try and break the cage off or get out of it. And Mario just gives me bratty sub energy.
So it's your pick.
It is. No, it's... Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Give me 4. Ooh.
Oh, my God.
Okay. A Big Daddy from Bioshock and Handsome Jack from Borderlands.
Right.
I mean, I have an answer, but I'd argue that this one's a little unfair.
So, like, Big Daddies are basically one big suit that they can't get out of, right?
That was going to be my point. Yeah. It's like, are they not essentially in a giant chastity device?
Yeah.
So they would be the ones locked by default.
It's like one of those drone kinks. That's yeah. Drone transformation.
You leave the drones alone. The drones are good boys. I think we're all pretty much made the universal decision on this one. It's just like the Big Daddy would be the one in chastity.
Yes.
Also, but here's the thing. Handsome Jack, like, yes, I get dumb energy there, but I get, like, abusive dumb that's only in it for the power.
Yeah.
I don't get, like, oh, God, good absolutely. Dumb energy from that. Let's be very clear.
to bet, just because a dumb is locked doesn't mean he can't lock someone else.
This is very true. Mm-hmm. This is very, very true. But I can't see Handsome Jack giving that up. I cannot see Handsome Jack doing chastity. He's got too big of an ego.
Oh, yeah, I agree with that, yeah. But do I want to be locked for Handsome Jack? No.
No, I don't want to be anywhere near Handsome Jack as a dom, I'll be honest.
But yeah, okay, that's this round.
Yep.
Let's go 7. So it's Geralt of The Witcher and Sergeant Johnson.
Ooh, okay. That's an interesting choice.
So, I'm not familiar. Who is Sergeant Johnson?
Sergeant Johnson is the quick, witty, very snappy Marine from Halo.
Right. Okay.
Oh, I really don't know here.
Geralt.
I think this is the two bottoms in a room, what do they do with chastity, you know?
I mean, I will put my money on Geralt being locked, and this is purely because I like seeing big muscular men locked.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like, oh, yeah. My personal preference would be to see Geralt locked.
Sergeant Johnson is no slacker.
Absolutely.
Like, he knows what the ladies like. He definitely knows what the men like, and it's all under that uniform.
Is the Halo suit another chastity device?
I mean, is that very...
No, because he can take it off.
Hmm?
But no, because the Master Chief can take it off.
Well, yeah.
And it's the Master Chief in it, not Sergeant Johnson.
Nah.
I think Johnson's the dom in this scenario. Geralt is the locked boy. Oh. But I'm basing that entirely on the fact that we've already seen that Sergeant Johnson will tote around the galaxy with a guy in a big metal suit that's locked on anyway.
Ah, right. Yeah, I can see both of them being like, oh, do I have to dom here?
Right? I can see both of them being in either role. This is the problem.
So, yeah. Okay. So, what the decision is, like, it kind of depends on the year. Like, maybe they'll take turns.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay.
Okay.
Craig.
Give me a six.
Oh, my God. Okay. So we have
got... Oh, wow.
Oh, Hades, God of the Dead from Hades. And Tony Stark.
I already have my answer.
Yep, I've got my answer.
Yeah, I mean...
Guests first.
Okay, so Hades has immaculate dom vibes.
Exactly.
And Tony Stark is a little shit that needs to be taken down a peg, so Tony will be locked.
Here's the thing. I don't disagree. However, I think that even though Hades does have immaculate dom vibes, I think Tony Stark is enough of a brat, and we've seen the way he works with his tech. He probably has a nanomachine version of a chastity cage that he just fires out, and he just roll reverse switches it.
Yeah. I mean, Hades is also like daddies of daddies, though.
Yeah.
The daddy of daddies.
Like, Hades is a god.
That as well.
And comic book nerd here. We've seen when a god goes full out, Iron Man doesn't really stand up to them.
I don't know. He held his own doing electricity with Thor. Avengers 1, anyone?
Right, yeah.
See, I'm going by comic books in which when Thor and Iron Man went toe-to-toe completely after the Civil War, Thor just, like, thrashed him.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I mean, that's the nice thing about the list. It's open to your interpretation when there's multiple versions. Okay, we need to put this one to a vote, though. So, Hades is the dom. Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, I'm now ruled. Fair enough. Is it your turn, Chris, or mine?
No, it's yours.
Let's give me a 9.
Oh, okay.
Hey, speaking of...
Oh.
Thor versus Marcus Fenix.
But it's Thor from God of War,
True, but
the big
still.
One. not Thor of Marvel. Okay.
Yeah, I got mine.
Oh, yeah, I got mine.
I'm still on the fence. So I'm going to listen to you two first.
I mean, I think Marcus Fenix has bottom vibe, like big bottom vibe, power bottom vibe to me.
Yes, but I would say the God of War, Thor. I think he would benefit from chastity. I think it would be a very personally growing and fulfilling experience for him.
Hey, there's a thing we don't talk about often with chastity, isn't it? This is another one for me that I'm looking at and going, I can see either of them being the chastity guy, you know?
Yeah.
I think I'm going to lean towards Marcus Fenix being the one in chastity, though. I think Thor would be the key holder in that scenario. I agree with you, Chris. Like, Marcus Fenix just gives me bottom energy and always has. And not just bottom energy, but overcompensating bottom energy at that.
As I say, power bottom energy.
No, I wouldn't say power bottoms power are bottom all overcompensating.
No, no. Okay, no.
I would say they serve a service to our community. Okay, no, let's do two more. One more for you, Chris.
Sure. Okay. One, two, three, four. Okay. All right, this time we have got Magneto and the Dragonborn of Skyrim.
Magneto with chastity is an interesting choice. Both for and against.
Yeah, they both have like a lot of power.
They both have a lot of power. You can get fully plastic or at least resin chastity cages these days. True. I know a lot of people where they 3D print their own locks for them.
Yep. Can. And Magneto can use his like magnetic energy to keep the chastity, keep a metallic chastity cage on the Dragonborn.
Yeah, this is the like. Because Magneto wouldn't necessarily have to use a key lock.
Nope.
No, he could just warp the metal.
I'm down for that.
Are we all saying Magneto's the key holder? I get the impression that's what's happening.
Yeah, I think we are.
Yeah. And also the Dragonborn can basically be anyone you choose to be.
True. Although I can imagine Magneto like locking that on and going, for Shraddar that, you know. Fair enough. Okay, no. One more for Craig then.
Let's do lucky number three. Robin and Jack Sparrow.
Ooh, okay. Okay, so you got Robin, Boy Wonder, and Jack Sparrow.
Question, which Robin?
Dealer's choice.
I think it would have to be Dick Grayson, for the arse. Have you guys been watching the newest season of Harley Quinn?
No, not yet.
There is an entire plot line revolves around Dick Grayson having the best arse in Gotham.
Okay.
They full on and went and acknowledged it in that show.
Sounds good to me.
Now, here's the thing, though. Just because you've got a great arse doesn't mean you're the submissive or the bottom. So which one of them is in chastity?
I know. It's like, I really want to see like Robin turn it around and...
Yeah, but it's just Jack Sparrow has too much manic energy. I don't think he would make a good keyholder Dom at all. He's too manic, too unfocused.
Yeah, that's why I'm leaning towards like Dick Grayson being a keyholder. I was like, he seems very bottomy, but it'll be really fun to see a bottom guy, you know, being dominant.
See, that's kind of where I'm at. Plus, also, I'm just thinking, like, Jack Sparrow in chastity would go crazier than they already are. And that I kind of want to see.
Yeah, so Jack Sparrow in chastity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okie doke. Fair enough. I think that's all we've got time for.
That's all we got time.
Yep. So thank you very much, Craig, for joining us.
It's a pleasure as always.
Hopefully it's been an interesting one.
Oh, yes.
We shall see you soon on Kinky Boys, I don't doubt.
Oh, yes.
What have you got
yes.
coming up?
So currently I'm taking a 1 month break. When we get back, mm-hmm. I'm doing a second episode on latex. Mm-hmm. There'll also be ones about community building. I'm going to have some community organizers on to talk about doing that. So that's kind of going to be the theme of the next few episodes for me.
Nice. I like that. Yeah. Awesome. So if people want to go and find you, they can find you where, Craig?
So we are at the kinkyboyspodcast.com, or just search for Kinky Boys on any of your favourite podcast providers.
Perfect. Thank you very much, Craig. We shall see you soon. Chris, I think we'll head into the 5 minute Marvel.
Yes, we shall.
So, we play the jingle. We said we're doing the 5 minute Marvel, but...
Yeah.
We're not doing the 5 minute Marvel. I'm going to take this moment to be a little bit political here and go, we support the writers and the actors.
I mean, yes. I know that you should.
Indeed. No, you absolutely should, because they should be paid a fair wage for fair work. Uh-huh. I know that we covered a little bit of the 5 minute Marvel in the last episode that went out. I'm going to point out, we recorded that fairly early on when the rules weren't entirely clear in terms of how they were wanting support, etc. We weren't fully aware what the rules are, etc., but there is a clear request not to do coverage on the content that's been struck, and Marvel content is some of the stuff that has been struck. And so we're not doing anything in terms of covering Marvel's movies, etc. However, we are going to take this opportunity to quickly, you know, let you know about it, ask you to consider looking into donating to support the striking workers, because, you know, as much as everyone's got their eyes on big names, etc., it's small people as well that, you know, literally live paycheck to paycheck. It's the artists you don't see in the backgrounds that live paycheck to paycheck. There's some truly horrendous stories come out about the way that some of the visual effects artists in particular were treated, including by Marvel. So, you know... Yeah. Please take a moment, go out there and look into it. Anything you want to add, Chris?
Nah.
Excelsior! So that was the not 5 minute Marvel.
No. Well, it was. It was the not 5 minute Marvel. Yes.
Well, exactly. I mean, look, I make a point to call out video games where the studio is being particularly problematic at the time. Why would I not do it with Marvel, you know?
Oh, yes, exactly. Yeah.
So, what's on your joystick, Chris?
I have been playing, just starting to play a bit of Starfield.
Ooh, okay. Talking about studios. Ooh, okay. All I'm going to say is Bethesda has had its issues. Please, you know, have a look into them, because wow. How is it?
It's okay. I'm not that far into it. I need to play a bit more to really make a concrete judgment. Like, it's so far so good. It's a bit of a slow start, but it seems fine.
Okay, this is not a glowing review. So far.
It's fine. I don't know. It's like a lot of Bethesda's games, even the Elder Scrolls series. Okay, the first little bit is a bit boring, but then you seem to get a lot of choices to what to do. And I've just got to the main hub of New Atlantis, And that's quite pretty.
Okay.
Yeah.
So here's my thing with Starfield. I saw not all of the trailers, etc., but I saw what was in quite a few of the previews that we got as gaming communities.
Mm-hmm.
And I was severely unimpressed. And mm-hmm. I'm on the record on this show being unimpressed.
Yeah.
Because to me, all I was seeing was the same old grey landscapes and awkward movement and just weird, frankly, typical Bethesda shit. But in a space setting and looking at that going, this isn't going to work for me. And Fallout, I can kind of forgive the grey landscapes and the blockiness. Because Fallout, it's a nuclear wasteland, you know, I get an element of this. But it didn't feel like they were moving on, and it didn't feel like they were really pushing that much new or exciting.
So for me, the environment isn't really a problem. I don't feel like the grey landscape is a problem from what I have seen so far. Like, yeah, environment looks fine. Otherwise, it's a bit like a typical Bethesda game with your movements and, you know, talking to people. Yeah, they move quite awkwardly. You have the same kind of quests, like, but kind of all kind of open world-ish RPG. Yeah, have that. Yeah. You know, you go around searching for shit. This guy needs help with collecting data from whatever planet. So, yeah, okay, that's typical. It's nothing, mm-hmm. nothing that new, but it's not particularly jarring.
Mm-hmm.
It's safe for me.
Yeah, I think that's maybe the other thing that put me off, that literally that word safe, because it feels very, from what I saw, feels very safe.
Mm-hmm.
And I realize that there's going to be people going, but you liked Fallout. It's just like, yes, I did. But I liked Fallout because I liked Fallout 3, which wasn't safe because they were taking that game and genre into a whole new place, because from 2D to 3D. And I liked Fallout 4 because it felt like an update on that. And it felt like they were actually moving forward with the engine, etc., from where they'd been with Skyrim, etc. It didn't to me look like they'd made enough progress in that respect when Starfield came. And honestly, I just didn't want to deal with the day one bugs either. Because it's a Bethesda game and it's typically buggy, and we, for some reason, excuse that.
I swear. I don't know. From what I've played so far, I didn't mind it. And I think it's all right. I will play a bit more. Mm-hmm.
But is it grabbing you? Like, is the story grabbing you?
I'm not quite sure what the story is yet.
Okay. Fair enough. Because that was also my other complaint. I didn't know what the fuck it was meant to be about. It was just here's a Bethesda game in space.
Yeah.
Okay.
Honestly. Yeah.
And you know.
Yeah, it's about some random elements that makes you see shit. Like, well, not shit, but makes you see random colours and shapes and random sounds.
Acid trips.
It seems that way, yeah.
You get to the end of the game and it just pulls back to reveal this single guy laid in a field in Arizona.
No.
It's like, no. Damn, that was some...
Who was that? But yeah, that's been my joysticks, Starfield.
Fair enough. So, we're not having a great day for the warnings here, because I need to put a warning before mine and go that the company that produced published this game is incredibly fucking problematic, and the way they handled this game is entirely fucking shit showy.
Oh,
but
dear.
I'm going to talk about Crash Team Racing. So I'm not 20 years after the curve. This game got remade about 2 or 3 years ago. And at the time, I was really excited for it. I was really, really excited for a Crash Bandicoot Racing remake.
Yeah.
Because I loved that game as a kid. Like, I played the hell out of that game as a kid. And I 100%ed it and everything else. They released it. It got good reviews. There was a couple of small comments of, you know, the sliding is about right, but it's a like a half second slightly different, but it's an accurate enough remake and everything else, because it's a remake, not a remaster.
Okay, yeah.
But then the Activision fuckery started.
Of course it does.
And it turns out that the versions they sent for reviews did not have a microtransaction store within it, and the options for that enabled, etc. They all got enabled. So, yeah, that all got enabled after the fact. Now, Okay. Slight caveat here. I don't remember if it's a case of the store wasn't there at all, or the ability to buy things in the store with real money wasn't there. But I remember it was a really scummy practice about the way they did it, because it wasn't only after the reviews, it was after ratings boards.
Yeah.
And it's just like, no, fuck that shit.
Yeah, because that's a different game you sent out now.
Mm-hmm. And I looked at it and went like, okay, these things are only cosmetic, but that's not the point. These are still harmful things, you know?
Yeah.
You're probably wondering why I ended up purchasing it in that case. It's like, I was talking with someone about Nintendo Switch games and how, you know, they very rarely go on sale on the stores. I happened to look and the game was on sale for £14.
Right.
At that point, it's already a quarter of the retail price, etc. £14 I can about justify. I then found out that because of the way that the Nintendo store works, if you buy games or activate games on your Nintendo Switch, you get gold coins.
Yes.
Gold coins convert into cash.
Yes.
I had about £7 in gold coins.
Yeah.
So the entire game actually cost me £7.
It's, yeah, Nintendo, the Nintendo store does have a weird cashback thing.
It does. I'm not going to deal with any of the microtransactions. No. I'm thankfully one of those people that, like, I can most of the time resist them, etc. Honestly, I look at them and it's just like, they're all extra ancillary shit that I don't want. Because I like the original feel of the game. Sure, more characters might be a bit nice for partying, but, you know, it's not the be-all and end-all. I decided I could justify it on this occasion at £6, at £6-7 or whatever it was.
Okay.
It's a shame Activision screwed it so badly, because it's actually a really, really good remake. And what amazes me is that actually the gameplay has really held up well. And if anything, there's stuff that I'm seeing in there that, like, it predates what Mario was doing. It predates the Mario Kart experience for some of the stuff.
Fair enough.
And it's like, okay, yeah, let's throw a bit of time at this. So I'm just kind of reliving a bit of nostalgia at the moment.
Yeah. But it's, you said it's an Activision game, right?
Yes.
So it's not really a Nintendo, like, first-party game.
No.
Right? Okay.
But even non-Nintendo first-party games don't tend to go on as deep of a sale on the Nintendo store as you would find them in your local game retailer.
They must figure something about that game that they don't like. Like, people don't like. I don't know.
No idea. I don't know what it was. I'm not really arguing it when it was coming in so cheap.
Meh. Okay.
But yeah, that's what's been on my joysticks.
Fair enough.
It's a nice bit of nostalgia. If anyone remembers that game from being a kid, like, if you can get it, you know, in a way that you don't feel bad about it and at a decent price, it's worth it. But yeah, I think that's the show this week, Chris.
I think it is, yeah.
Special thanks to Craig from Kinky Boys Pod for jumping on and joining us for the Locktober special version of the list.
Yep, indeed. I think most of you who listen to us have heard of the Kinky Boys podcast.
Indeed, and if you haven't, go check them out.
Exactly.
And for those of you who are locking this year, good luck. I'm right there with you.
Happy Locktober, everyone.
Indeed. Where can people find us on socials, Chris?
You can find us on the internet on our website, tbnjpodcast.com. You'll also find our links, tbnjpodcast.com/links.
Indeed. But for now, this has been the TBNJ Podcast. I have been TBNJ Sai.
And I've been Chris. I'll see you next time.
Thank you very much for listening. We shall see you next time. Bye.
Bye. This episode is edited by TBNJ Chris. Our soundboard comprises royalty-free audio. The opening and ending music is called Conundrum by DOAK. Thank you for listening to Teabags and Joysticks.
We were playing Locked or Locky or...
Yeah. What?